You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour one of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base, the home of the Todd Starnes Show in Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Good to have you along. Todd is in Gotham City, because he'll be filling in once again for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tonight. That's 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. The rest of you do your own math. But Todd is back on Newsmax tonight, and that gives us the opportunity to share some time together today in the Liberty University studio. Always a privilege to talk with Starnes Nation. So why not call in and join the coast-to-coast conversation at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. If you go to toddstarnes.com, which you should for all manner of good news and information, you'll notice that the Starnes Media Group Newswire posted a story yesterday about an NPR poll that used to stand for National Public Radio, now it stands for NPR, and they have a poll in conjunction with Marist College, and the story, as you see at toddstarnes.com, is that more independent voters say they would pick Donald Trump for president than Joe Biden. Now, that is huge, or as some would say, huge, because you know you've got those on the left, you know you've got those on the right, but a third of the country, the muddy middle, that's where the real fight is going to be. And a lot of those who are challenging Mr. Trump have said, well, he may do fine in the party, but we've got to win the general election, and so A, B, or C candidate is a better choice because they would have a better chance with independents. Well, this leftist poll from NPR knocks that out of the water. Again, that was posted yesterday. I have a brand new poll, though, just of Republican voters, and this was conducted by Victory Insights. They're very well known for the work that they do. And this is their first national poll of the 2024 Republican campaign for president. It says that in our first national poll, we find Donald Trump with a 48.7-point lead over Ron DeSantis and the rest of the field. Now, I'm going to repeat that, Starnes Nation, because I want to make sure you understood exactly what I said. Not that President Trump has 48.7% in the poll. That's his margin. That's his lead. It's not just that you add up everybody else and they still don't have enough to beat him. He has a 48.7-point lead over his nearest challenger. These are staggering, unprecedented numbers. Donald Trump in the Victory Insights poll has 61% support. The only other individual in the poll with double digits is Governor DeSantis, and he is at 12. Then comes undecided at 8%. Chris Christie somehow scores 6% in this poll. Vivek Ramaswamy and Mike Pence each have 4%. No one else has more than 2%. So this is a Victory Insights poll, national Republican voter poll for president. Donald Trump, 61%, Ron DeSantis, 12%. And when you then winnow the field down, because that's the other thing I hear here in the state of Iowa, where all the selection begins, the center of the universe on January 15, 2024. And then people leave us alone for another 4 years. We love it. I'm just saying. But if you look at just some head-to-head matchups, because that's what you hear, is that the DeSantis people say, look, our guy is the only guy who's got a chance. Everybody else ought to clear the way, make it a two-person race. Trump beats DeSantis head-to-head by 41 points. Trump beats Ramaswamy head-to-head by 56 points. Those are just straight up who would you vote for if the election were held today numbers. And a lot of things can change between now and January 15th of 2024, the date of the Iowa First in the Nation presidential precinct caucuses, the New Hampshire primary about a week or 10 days later, and then, of course, the November general election. Lots of things can happen, but those are big leads. It is important, as far as I'm concerned, for these things to drill down below that, to find out who has room to grow. And that's where we get into favorability and unfavorability numbers. The Victory Insights poll of Republicans who are going to determine their party's nominee in 2024, that poll says 68% of them have a positive opinion of Donald Trump. 68% of Republican voters nationally have a positive opinion of Donald J. Trump. That, again, is far more than anyone else in the field. One of the things you look at when you're analyzing a race like this is if you have room to grow. If you are unknown, well, you get better known. If you are very well known and people don't like you, okay, you've got a ceiling beyond which you cannot climb. 68% of Republican voters, according to Victory Insights, says Trump says that they have a positive opinion of Trump, more than two-thirds of the pool. Victory Insights notes that in many of their state-level polls, which really are the most important, I'm not a big fan of national polls, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but in many of their previous state-level polls, they had found DeSantis to have better favorability numbers than Trump, but that is not true in the first national poll of the cycle. They both have the same negatives. Trump and DeSantis, among Republican voters, each have 19% negative viewpoint about them. But Trump has 68% positive or favorable response, and DeSantis only has 51%. Favorable response. Now, you could say, all right, well, there's plenty of room for him to grow there because the rest are undecided. But you're making quite an assumption that everything is going to break that way. And that's a pretty tall hill to climb when you have issues about likability. Ramaswamy and Tim Scott, by the way, post the next best favorability numbers. Here's something that's interesting. Very interesting when you're talking about Republican voters. Chris Christie and Mike Pence are disliked by a majority of the Republican electorate. Now, we know Christie's only goal in life is to try to derail Donald Trump and then somehow think that he's going to become a media darling and a pundit again. And that's how he's made his living the last few years, dissing Donald Trump and making money, taking money from ABC. But Pence, that's the interesting thing. He is disliked by a majority of the Republican electorate. And I have said on my program in Iowa, I have said on this program previously, with respect for Mr. Pence's career, I just don't see the path for him. I don't see where the natural constituency lines up to get him beyond a certain point. Further insight from Victory Insights. Nikki Haley has 32% positive, 23% negative. That's a pretty high negative. And I'm not really sure why that is. And they simply say, their analysis, Victory Insights, this is Donald Trump's race to lose. Absolutely. Very clearly. There is no question that it is his race to lose. 3 in 5 Republican voters already say they're backing Trump. His most serious challenger barely is holding on to double-digit support. They say the former president is in an excellent position. And Victory Insights closes the executive summary of their first national poll of Republicans by saying, assuming Trump does not participate in the first RNC sanctioned debate next week, the candidates on stage won't really be fighting for the nomination. They'll be fighting for second place. And that's why I frankly don't see why the president would debate at this point. There are a host of reasons why it's not a great idea for him. I get that you need to be battle tested. I get that you need to engage and be there to blunt the attacks. But at this point, let the field winnow down. Personal feeling. I don't know how you feel. I actually don't know how Todd feels. Personal feeling is Mr. Trump should just stay away from this event next week. Let the others battle it out, because if he shows up on the same stage, he elevates some of them to the same level. I mean, I remember it was at the first Democrat debate in the last cycle when Kamala Harris tossed off that zinger about school busing and Joe Biden. Wasn't a fully accurate zinger, but it made its point, and it elevated her well beyond the status she should have had, because she wound up not even lasting to the first event. She was out before the calendar year of the election had begun. So why give someone who is down at 2, 4, even 6%, why give them the chance to elevate? Let the others, the lower tier, if you will, or everyone but the per se incumbent, let them all fight it out. That's my personal view. So when you look at the numbers, these are huge. Now, this is of the group as a whole, Republican voters. The NPR Marist survey yesterday included independents. But as I've been talking, I've gotten a text from a friend who points out, yeah, but what about suburban women? What about some of these other cohorts? Absolutely. Work to be done in a lot of those areas. But, and again, I don't trust many polls, period, but they keep showing the same things, don't they? Now, I said a moment ago, I really don't care much about national polls at all, and I'll tell you why when we come back. Good time for you to call in, though. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Why Stein doesn't like national polls. Boy, if that doesn't keep you on the edge of your seat to be here through the break, I don't know what will. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
I've been taking Calitrin to help me lose weight, but I also noticed there are lots of other benefits. Here's my friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Hey, y'all. That's right. Calitrin is not just for weight loss. It doesn't have any side effects, but it does have side benefits. Those side benefits include better sleep, less joint pain, more natural energy, and just overall better sense of well-being. And then, of course, it's proven for the weight loss, too. It's not going to be a quick fix for weight loss, but if you give it time to work, you're going to look better. And even more importantly, feel better with this product. No drugs, no stimulants, safe even if you're on medications. It really is good for you. So check it out on our website today, toploss.com. We've got a huge summer sale that we're wrapping up. It's on our website, toploss.com. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS.
All right. Thanks a lot, Elizabeth. Again, that website, toploss.com. You can also call 833-TOP-LOSS and use the promo code Todd.
The Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Watch Todd tonight, Friday night, on Newsmax, filling in for Greg Kelly. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern. Right now, though, give us a call at 844-747-8868. I'll pick up where I left off before the break. I gave you some national polling data. And then I said, you know, I don't care about national polling data. And here's why I don't. Because we don't elect presidents based upon popular vote. Who cares? Who cares what the national polls show? Yes, they're important for trending, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is, California's your best example. The place is lousy with Democrats. And it was made lousy because of Democrats, come to think of it. But it's full of Democrats. That skews the whole national vote. I mean, if you remove the popular vote from California in the last two presidential elections, then the Republican won the popular vote. Now, I know you can't just lop off a state like that. Oh, if only we could with California. But the point is that it doesn't matter if there are these intense concentrations of votes in certain places. We vote, we count by electoral college. And so really the only way to accurately predict such things is to look at a poll within a certain state. How are you going to know how Utah votes unless you have a poll of folks in Utah and then figure out what their electoral votes are? Tennessee, Michigan, North Dakota, Lower Dakota, either way. I mean, you need to have state-by-state polls so that you can add up the electoral college votes. So, yes, in some ways, the national poll is nice, but it doesn't matter because that's not how we keep score. And so we need to learn what we can from some of these numbers, but it's not going to get us to the ultimate answer. Now, these are of primary voters, etc. Okay, that was a little different pool. And it does show some trends. But I don't trust any national poll that tells me who's going to be president unless what they've done is add up electoral college votes, electoral votes in each state. By the way, I just got right into it today, and I did not get a chance to tell you who's going to be on this very fine radio program. And Miss Grace has put together quite a list. By the way, thanks in advance to her. Dylan running the board. Josh taking care of your calls at 844-747-8868. Team Todd is on duty today, as always, and making my life much easier as a result. Coming up in just a little more than a half hour to start off hour number two, we'll speak with A.J. Rice. He is president and CEO of Publius PR, but we're going to talk to him about his number one Amazon bestseller called The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. This was a number one book last year when it came out, and it went back to number one just recently. We're going to ask him what led to the increased visibility or interest in the book, and talk generally about the concept of the Woking Dead. That is coming up in hour number two. Also in hour number two, we're going to speak with the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. He is Timothy Head, based in Georgia, as I understand it. And we're going to talk about how these indictments are impacting certain groups of voters, the Trump-related indictments, and see what he thinks about the race and the debate next week. Timothy Head of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, joining us a little more than 1 hour from now. And in hour number three, the tremendous economist and advisor to Donald Trump, Stephen Moore, will join us live. That's to start off hour number three. I have talked to him on the radio here and on my Iowa program multiple times, but I had never actually met Steve Moore until a few weeks ago when he was at the Republican Party of Iowa Lincoln Dinner. That's the one where I had the privilege of introducing all of the candidates as the voice behind the curtain. And he was there to evaluate the Trump performance and got to meet him in the hallway. Steve Moore, that's my name drop for the day. That was the best I could do of the whole trip. I ran into Steve Moore, and he did not call police when I came up to him. He'll join us in hour number three, and a return guest to this program, legal analyst and attorney Dr. Wendy Patrick will join us, and that is at the bottom of hour number three. Again, get a little bit of an insight from a lawyer's perspective about some of the 91 felony charges that have been brought in four different venues against Donald Trump. But when we come back, we'll take your calls at 844-747-8868. Plenty of time to hear from you on this Open Line Friday. It's 844-747-8868. 747-8868. Go to ToddStarnes.com, and if you go to the live show blog, you'll see a link there to the poll question of the day that I posted on my station website, and it has to do with who your second choice for president is. Not your first choice, your second choice. We'll tell you more about that after this break. Jeff Stein, in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show.
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Stein Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today while he handles hosting duties on Newsmax tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. Join the conversation, won't you? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Before the break, I was talking about a poll that I put up. I do a poll on my radio program, which airs in Iowa right before Todd, 8 in the morning until 11 Central Time, and you can listen to the stream if you care to at KXEL.com or on Alexa or, gosh, on a radio. That's kind of a neat thing. Well, in any case, we put a poll question up every day, and Grace was kind enough to put this on the live show blog at ToddStarnes.com, so you can vote there. Or you can go to our website here at my radio station, KXEL.com/poll, and you have a choice. You've made your choice, perhaps, as to who your favorite is for the Republican presidential nomination. And the poll question wants to know who's your second choice. This is important down the line for a variety of reasons, which I'll get to. But basically, I have listed the 15 presidential candidates I have on my bingo card. And the question says, let's presume you have a favorite to be the nominee. Who is your second choice? Why is second choice important? Well, obviously, if your choice winds up dropping out of the race, you're going to need to go to someone else. If your choice is Trump, I seriously doubt anything is going to get him out of the race. And that's not a criticism. I'm just simply saying I don't see a way that he's out of the race. But it's always good to have your second choice. This is also important when it comes potentially for winning a general election. Because one of the things that any presidential nominee looks at, well, they look at a number of things. Can they work with the person? Or do they constantly have to worry about the vice president undermining them or the vice president operating on her own or his own agenda? So that vice president has to work with the president, part of a team, has to be able to take the job if necessary, God forbid. There are also some factors with regard to how it plays with the rest of the electorate. We used to say, well, if the vice president was from a big state, that will help bring more electoral votes. And I'm not completely sure that's true these days. So there are a lot of factors that have to be considered, but popularity is one of them. You know, if this is the number two person in the entire primary and caucus season, then the presidential nominee is going to look and say, well, geez, you know, if I put this person on the ticket, I'm probably going to get their supporters as well. So there are a lot of factors of why you need a number two. I thought of this question, though, when I saw a poll, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was a national poll, and it asked people, who is your second choice? And what was fascinating to me was that of the Republicans that were surveyed in that national poll, just over 50%, 50% said Vivek Ramaswamy was their number two choice. In other words, if Trump was their choice, half the people in the survey said Ramaswamy was second. If DeSantis was the choice, well, some may have said Trump was number two, but it may have been Ramaswamy. What that shows is increasing popularity. And having interviewed him multiple times, including in person as part of a one-hour television program, he's a very impressive individual. And not afraid to go to a state like Iowa and say, I don't think there should be ethanol subsidies because there shouldn't be any subsidies for oil. That's not a popular position, but he takes it. So I'm just curious. Go to KXEL.com/poll or go to ToddStarnes.com and click on the live show blog, and then you can cast your vote. Who's your second choice in the presidential sweepstakes? 844-747-8868. That is the number that Troy used to call in from North Carolina, where he listens to this fine radio program on WSIC. Troy, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind? Troy, are you there? All right. We'll put him. We're having phone trouble, or we just lost him. Let's try Pete. Okay, we lost Troy. Troy, call back. Sorry, I blathered on there, and you dropped the call. Pete is calling in from Central Iowa. I think you're listening on the live stream. Pete, thanks for calling back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. What's on your mind today, sir?
Thank you, Jeff. You were mentioning about the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And if you go back, another concept that some of the founders really debated was you needed to own land or property to vote. So that you had equity in the game, you know, you had skin on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And would, you know, a concept, I know it's different now, but if you have, you know, they talk about the voter rolls where you've got 70 people registered in one location and it's an empty lot. If you had property, then you would have an anchor to, you know, hold you down or something to tie down, you have a right to vote. I live north of Interstate 80, and there's a lot of construction going on there, and there's a lot of temporary construction workers that are there for the season, and some stay, and they, you know, I don't know what their status is. A lot of states now, if you're there, you know, you can register to vote. To say, you know, if somebody owns land here, even a couple hundred acres, they pay property taxes, sales taxes, they have, you know, money and buy goods and services, they've got a stake in the community and to vote and to mean it. So just a thought.
Well, and I get where you're going with it, Pete. The problem that I have with requiring that people own property is there will be people who rent a home, rent an apartment, and they never actually own property. And chances are greater that the younger you are, the less the chance that you own property. And so I hate to just lop off large amounts of the electorate. But to get around the problem you mentioned, you know, half dozen people registering to an address that's on a vacant lot. Well, maybe if we had better enforcement of the voter rolls, maybe if we didn't just beg people to vote and actually said, you've got to show up on a certain day at a certain time, as opposed to all this early voting, you've got to show an ID. We're going to check to make sure that that's not a vacant lot and it's a real address. That's the kind of stuff I'd rather see us put our time and attention toward. But your basic point about, hey, we've got some issues with all these people that are voting and we can't tell who they are, I think that's a fair one. Pete, thanks so much for making the call, calling the Todd Starn Show. Tom is in Oregon listening on KYKN, great affiliate of the Starn Show out there. Tom, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
Very good. Yeah, I think Trump needs to stay out of the first debate, and I'm not sure actually how many more debates there's going to be. But this is kind of like the minor leagues. You know, let them fight it out. Let them work it out. Display what their philosophy is, what they would do. Economy, world situation, voter fraud. And, let them show what they've got. And because, the media, once they, these people that haven't been tested, they will give them the anal exam and the anal lies and everything else. So that's kind of my opinion. Also, I was kind of surprised what you said about Vivek. I was thinking Vivek also as far as a VP or head of helping clean up the swamp. Some of his ideas just totally dismantle the FBI and promote the sheriff's side of things, sheriff marshals, U.S. marshals, mm-hmm. for investigations. And my other one for like a VP would be Carrie Lake, because she's gone through hell and knows what all this voter fraud and how many ways you can commit voter fraud. And that's what really needs to be ferreted out. And, I guess that my other little comment would be, we really need to demonstrate and educate the people of the communist and the communist philosophy that has taken hold of the Democrat Party. I think there's so many people that are still Democrats that listen to the regular ABC, NBC, CBS media, and they don't have a clue of the fraud and the dirty tricks that have gone on within the Democrat Party and their promotion of voter fraud. And Carrie Lake experienced that. She says there's like 1,000 ways to commit voter fraud within the voting situation.
No, you're absolutely right, Tom, and thank you for making the call from Oregon. Beautiful country out there, and I appreciate you calling in today. A couple of things to Tom's point. The first debate is next Wednesday in Milwaukee. That is August 23rd. The next debate, there are two that have been announced so far. Well, I guess, sort of announced three. The fact that the RNC is trying to control the debates, I hate this. I don't like it when the DNC does it. I don't like it when the RNC does it. Because they're just trying to be kingmakers. And the only people who can really do this successfully is us. You, me, we the people. First Republican debate, August 23rd, next Wednesday in Milwaukee. Second debate is on September 27th. At Simi Valley, I think that's at the Reagan Library. And then there is a third one in October in Alabama, according to some sources. I don't know anything else about that. All I can do is tell you that's what I'm seeing here. Vivek Ramaswamy is a very impressive candidate. He does want to just dismantle agencies. And I do like when he talks about his 8-year plan. He makes it very clear, don't think if you elect me, I'm looking at this as a 4-year thing. We need 8 years to rescue our nation. And that's an interesting point from a political standpoint, but also just from recognition of how far down things have gotten. Carrie Lake, native Iowan, had her on the program multiple times. She's tremendous as well. I would say right now, if I were putting odds on it, I'd say Donald Trump would either pick Carrie Lake, but maybe more likely South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem as a running mate. Could not go wrong with either. Doug, stay on the line. I need to take a break, but I want to take your call right after. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us in the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd today, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back. Coast to coast, it's the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868 is how you can connect with us. Let's go to the phones. And Doug is calling in. He listens on WDUN in Georgia. You like what you hear from Vivek Ramaswamy, do you, Doug?
I haven't heard anything bad, and everything that he says is extremely excellent. He represents everything that Trump represents. He's a capitalist. He has no experience, just like Trump had no experience, which, by the way, I will say, everybody I talked to about Vivek, well, he doesn't have any experience. He didn't have any experience. Well, that's exactly what we loved about Trump. He's 38 years old, so he's young. I think Vivek Trump ticket is what I'd really like to see. I'd love to see Trump say, you know what? This guy's got the guts. If he was on The Apprentice, he'd have won it. I'll work for this kid. And what a killer duo that would be. And let me tell you, I love Trump, voted for him twice. But if Trump's up, we lose. You can put me on record. We will not win if Trump's up. I don't see how it could happen.
So you say that Trump needs to be number two, sort of. Yep. with Ramaswamy the boss, but having a very strong mentor there, if you will.
Yep. And Trump would have to spend a lot of time telling him, you know, kind of pumping himself up, going, yeah, this is the kind of guy I brought up. You know, that would give Trump a chance to brag about capitalism and look at this kid. And it would be a real interesting team. And I haven't heard anybody throw it out there. As far as the rest of them, Pence, dead duck. All the rest of them, just go away. And of course, you know, DeSantis, his candle burned out a long time ago. I think he's probably done in politics. I don't know if he'll get reelected in Florida.
I think he's term limited there, so I don't think he has to worry about at least running for governor again. That's why my suggestion, not that anybody's listening to me, my suggestion was that he sit out this cycle, serve a second successful full term as Florida's governor, and then he'd have a couple of years to then mount his national run, succeeding whoever was in the White House elected in 2024. You've heard President Trump speak well of Mr. Ramaswamy, have you not? He said some very nice things about him on the stump.
I believe so. And by the way, you just mentioned something that I hadn't even thought about, but is really key. Ramaswamy is talking about 8 years. Yeah. See, with Trump, all we're going to get is 4 years. He's very old. Who knows what could happen to him? And I'm an old guy. You know, I'm not trying to age him, but I think that's a heck of a selling point. If Vivek gets out there and says, no, I'm not looking at four, we're looking at eight, folks. Let's really grab this thing and turn it around. I mean, we're a capitalist country. It's time we get right back to capitalism. And anti-crime is a promo capitalism. Capitalism will not succeed if we continue to drive thriving businesses out of our cities because of our lack of attention to crime. It's just antithetical to capitalism. What's going on? So clean it up. Let's get the capitalists creating jobs and get this country back to what it did best, which is capitalism. So that's it. Thanks for your time.
No, Doug, thank you for the excellent insight calling in from Georgia on the great Starnes affiliate, WDUN. You know, what you're talking about there is a record of success. Now, Trump was successful in politics, and it's really not in politics. It's successful in winning the presidential election in 2016 because he had a track record that spoke of success. And there are a lot of naysayers who can point to downfalls in the business cycle that he was involved in. The bottom line is he emerged as a successful figure. You get someone like Vivek Ramaswamy, he's already founded and disposed of multiple billion-dollar companies. Guy's in his mid-30s and already wildly successful in business. This, as opposed to, and by the way, I have great respect for people who engage in public service. We need these individuals. We don't necessarily need public service to be their career and that their only employer is the taxpayer. And so when you see somebody like that running, and there are other business people doing the same thing, you may not have heard of them. Perry Johnson is one. Ryan Binkley is another. In addition to being a pastor, he heads a successful mergers and acquisition company. I mean, these are people who have been successful with the American model of capitalism. And what's wrong with elevating, in a political stage, the people who understand how the country really works? And, of course, Trump is in that mode as well. Hey, thanks for your calls. Keep on calling. We'll take more next hour. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Hour two coming up of the Todd Starnes Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. My pleasure to be in the Liberty University studio today. Todd is off today. He is in New York. He will be filling in for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tonight. You can watch that live at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. And in the meantime, we're going to conduct business as usual here. 844-747-8868 is how you can continue this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment, but let's begin this hour of the program by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, where we are joined by A.J. Rice. Mr. Rice is president and CEO of Publius PR. This is a media firm that represents the absolute who's who of authors and media personnel. Mr. Rice is one of those. He is the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, called The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. A.J. Rice, Jeff Stein here for Todd. Thanks for joining us on the program today. How are you?
Jeff, my brother. Great to be here.
One of the things I found interesting, and you were kind enough to share a copy of the book last year, I found it fascinating, and secret to the audience, a lot of times books come in, if you're lucky enough to be a radio host, and so I get a lot of books. I can't keep them all. I kept A.J. Rice's book for a good reference guide. Tell people again, what was the Woking Dead concept, and what did you put in that book that came out last year and went to number one?
Well, yeah, and it's actually popped to number one again recently.
I want to hear about why, but I wanted you to first of all just set up what it was.
Well, look, I mean, the reality is that while we were fighting this sort of China virus, that was sweeping across the fruited plain. What I noticed was that there was a second virus afoot,
It's funny, Elon Musk has been calling this thing the woke mind virus, and I think he's probably accurate. I mean, the second virus that was, you know, being sort of jammed into the DNA of our culture was wokeism. Now, wokeism, and I've been sort of working on this, has turned into quite the project. I mean, it's a target-rich environment, and my sort of unified theory of wokeness is this. We started out with just a couple shades of wokeness, right? I used to joke around that it was like Baskin and Robbins flavors, but now it has expanded. It's like the Crayola 64 box now. And it's in our schools, it's in our sports, it's in our entertainment, it's with, you know, Budweiser, it's with Nike, it's with the NBA, and the American people have had it. So what I noticed was, while we were locked down, and look, this is by design, we were getting slow pumped this, you know, woke nonsense, the destruction of Western civilization, the destruction of the nuclear family, taking masculinity down a notch. I mean, we could go on and on. This was, you know, basically a dress rehearsal to slow pump us full of wokeism, the lockdown. So that's really why I wrote the book. And look, it's funny. There's some horror. There's some humor. We're poking fun at the left, obviously, with The Walking Dead. But it's informative, and hopefully, you know, the audience grabs a copy. They'll have some fun reading it.
Get it wherever you get your good books, including Amazon.com. The Woking Dead is the name of the book written by A.J. Rice. And as you noted, it was number one last year, and I noticed it went to number one again this year. What did you do? What happened that led to this resurgence? I'm happy for the success. I'm just curious as to how it cycled back around in public consciousness.
Look, in full disclosure to the audience, you know, we run a PR firm with lots of clients and lots of relationships. And we do have relationships with, the Trump campaign, with the Vivek Ramaswamy campaign, the RFK Jr. campaign, and some loose relationships with DeSantis. And I have to tell you, if you survey the landscape of what's going on in this country right now, it is not a shock that the four men that I just named are pretty much leading in the polls, or in RFK Jr.'s case, basically gobbling up 20-25% of Democrats. Because this is not, at least I'd like to think, a Republican-Democrat issue. I don't think regular fair-minded people want, you know, Big Jeff and Big Gary and Big, you know, Sam pitching in girls' softball. They don't want them in the women's locker room. They don't want any of this. So, you know, we talk about Budweiser not knowing its audience. I don't think the elites in Washington know its audience. So one of the reasons I think the book is popping is because long before, you know, the Trump escalator ride, there was political correctness. But the vernacular has changed. It is wokeness. It is everywhere. And those four men, and I don't agree with all of them on everything, but those four men have made it their personal brand to fight this stuff. I mean, Vivek wrote his own book on it called Woke Inc. So, I mean, that's the DeSantis brand. RFK Jr. pushes back on a lot of it. Obviously, Trump's the original. He's Coca-Cola Classic. I mean, he's the original guy. I mean, even before he was even running for president, he wasn't standing for any of this stuff. So I think the American people know what it is now. They're looking for fun stuff and informative stuff to read. And, you know, I've been out there a little bit, but it popped again, and, you know, that's why I'm here.
A.J. Rice is the author of The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. Get it wherever you get your good books. Amazon.com is a place. He joins us live on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. One of the things that I find fascinating about this, as you just mentioned, Americans like a story where people stand up and fight. And the individuals you mentioned, from Trump to Kennedy Jr., do just that. How is it that we lost that as the go-to? I mean, it used to be we assumed people would fight for the American way of life, not fight against it. And now you're one of the rare individuals who's willing to risk being canceled. How did we get to this bad point?
Well, and I think, look, this audience is an audience of patriots. And look, they know what time it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of what these politicians on both sides have been doing is akin to, you know, pro wrestling, right? It's fake. It's not real, you know. Why the heck do you think Paul Ryan repealed Obamacare 700 times knowing that it would never go anywhere? It never went anywhere. You know, it went nowhere. So it's a giant virtue signal to keep us, the audience, the people that said no to Budweiser, the people that will say no to NASCAR if they keep up what they're doing. Basically, you know, we're like the last line of defense here of American culture. So they play a little game with us. They do a little two-step. You know, but it's to pretty much keep us under control. You think John Boehner and Mitch McConnell cared what the Tea Party thought 10 years ago? They didn't care. So, you know, McCarthy's up there now. He's got a short leash, you know, before MTG and Gates and others start yanking on it. But that's what this is. So when someone comes along that's authentic, that's not hiding, that's not going to self-censor, it's not going to follow the two-step of the authoritarian dress rehearsal, it scares the hell out of them. It scares the deep state. It scares big tech. It scares all of them. The media's freaking out. I mean, you know, RFK Jr., I mean, they don't know what to do with him. He scares them in some ways more than DeSantis, Trump, or Vivek, or Tim Scott, or any of these other, you know, candidates. So, I mean, that's where we're at. But look, we have gotten better at filtering through this nonsense. There's not going to be another Mitt Romney, John McCain situation. Okay, not as long as this show exists. It's not going to happen. Where we all just hold our nose for them. They never hold their nose for us, Jeff. Ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where we're at now. And I look, we're keeping them honest. You know, in baseball, you throw a little pitch high and tight and move their feet a little bit if they're a little too close to the plate. That's what we have to do.
The book is called The Woking Dead. A.J. Rice, the author, he joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You have worked with and for some of the outstanding names in media, and they are still on the front line, so many of them. But what does it say that there are all of these forces out there to destroy a movement that is really supported by a majority of Americans? I mean, it's that stark, right? I mean, it is not simply a matter that the majority is, we just go along, well, they'll play nice with us in the sandbox. Those, you know, they're not our enemies. They just happen to view things differently. It's a different landscape now than when you first got involved with some of these big names.
Well, look, you know, at the core of wokeism, you're talking about cultural Marxism.
Yeah.
Not the type of Marxism that, you know, overthrows the, you know, the autocratic, you know, colonialist power. You know, not like a peasant serf uprising of plumbers and longshoremen and lumberjacks. They knew that with a middle class like we have, with tons of immigrants who are escaping pretty much dumps, you know, around the world, coming here and creating businesses, whether it's a laundromat or you know, joining the bricklayers union, whatever it is, they knew they weren't going to get those people to burn this place down. They can't. They couldn't do it. They love their country. A lot of them serve. They go to church, you know, and they operate under this sort of auspices of the consent of the governed. And that's what's kind of deteriorating now. The consent of the governed is what keeps all of us, me and Jeff and this audience and Todd, from just becoming, you know, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and going into CVS and, you know, burning the place down and, like, acting crazy. But when you get to a point where you've got, like, regular folks that no longer believe that, you know, the government is got their best interests at heart or that any of this is real, when there's so much skepticism about our institutions and the vast apparatus of the executive state in the swamp, I mean, you start to basically, I mean, look, you got grandmothers, you know, minding their own business. They don't think any of this is real. They think none of it's real. So when you get millions and millions of people that start to think to themselves, wow, do I have a country still? That is horrifying. That's worse than the Civil War, you know, because it's no longer going to be separated by geography. It's going to be neighbors and neighbors. And that is not, this wasn't supposed to be this way. Conservatives were not supposed to have their own radio shows and their own television networks and their own churches and their own grocery stores and the this and the that. I mean, a house divided cannot stand. But I would say, and I think Todd probably would agree with me, and I know, Jeff, you do too, some of this is by design. They want this. They want this. The elites want this. They want us at each other's throats. So they do everything in their power to divide us.
And that is the one thing that we cannot, as you note, we cannot allow to happen. I try to decide, you know, I think about these things on occasion, I try to think, is it better that A.J. Rice is a wickedly good author of a book like The Woking Dead, or that he runs such a great PR agency that has such a great stable of talent? They're wonderful guests on my program, and I've come to the conclusion I'm just simply glad you do both, sir. Thank you so much for the time today, and we'll talk again very soon.
A.J. Rice. Look, I'm trying to be the supreme Allied commander here, right? But I need a bunch of Pattons and MacArthurs out there doing the fighting.
Well, you got them. You've got them, sir. Thanks so much for the time joining us on the Starn Show. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. You're a patriot.
Likewise. A.J. Rice, the book is called The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. A.J. Rice is his name. You can get the book on Amazon or wherever you get your good books these days. If you're looking for good books, don't forget to go to toddstarns.com. You'll find them there as well. 844-747-8868. That's the number that you should use to call in when we come back from this break. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is a Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us in the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. But it's still 844-747-8868. Great conversation with A.J. Rice. He's got such a great sense of humor and a great wit about him. And you read that in the book, The Woking Dead. And he has worked on radio projects with Monica Crowley, Laura Ingraham, etc. And again, so many of these great patriotic voices that you hear in radio interviews talking about books, etc., they're his clients. They're the people that he works with. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, now more than ever, it is so, so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Sharing your beliefs, yes, but then they do something about it, and isn't that refreshing these days? Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for the causes you care about and I care about. Switching to Patriot Mobile is very easy. In fact, I pulled the website up last week when I was filling in for Todd and kind of walked you through it. It's so simple. Switch now and use promo code Todd, and you'll get free activation and a free gift. My favorite four-letter word, free. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers other carriers use, so it's all the same stuff, so there's no reason for you to overpay like you can with some of these plans. Patriot Mobile has plans that will fit any budget along with great discounts for veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. As noted, switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team. U.S.-based, thank you very much, at 972-PATRIOT. So get your special discount, get your free Premier activation, but you do it by using promo code Todd. Once again, for more details, visit PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And again, we'll be joined by folks on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line just after the bottom of the hour, in particular, Timothy Head, the Executive Director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. If during the break for news, while you're taking notes about the sponsors your local station has, so you can go patronize them later, you may want to go online to the website that is run by our next guest. It's ffcoalition.com. That is the Faith and Freedom Coalition, ffcoalition.com. And we'll talk about what impact our guest Timothy Head thinks these latest Trump indictments may have on voters. As I recall, his organization's based in Georgia, and so he's got some good on-the-ground insight with regard to that. Coming up in hour number three of the program, we'll have economist Steve Moore joining us just after the top of the hour, and 1 hour away, attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick will give us an update on the Trump indictments from her perspective. That is in our next hour. Timothy Head of Faith and Freedom Coalition. Well, that's easy for me to say. Faith and Freedom Coalition joins us in 5 minutes. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
To the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Catch Todd tonight, Friday night, filling in for Greg Kelly on Newsmax at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. We'll take care of the normal business, though, while Mr. Starnes is there in Gotham City, and that includes going right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're joined by Timothy Head. Mr. Head is the Executive Director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, ffcoalition.com. Mr. Head, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me here, Jeff, and I hope that things are going all right there in Memphis.
Well, I hear from the folks in Memphis things are great. I'm here in the free state of Iowa, and I know your organization's well familiar with things in my state. You're quite active so many places around the country. But for those who may not be familiar, remind us what the Faith and Freedom Coalition is.
Well, we're based in Atlanta, Georgia, but we do work across the country in D.C. and then in state legislatures across the country on the way we like to say it is public policy from a biblical worldview within a constitutional framework. And then on the electoral side, the grassroots side, we're trying to equip and mobilize people of faith, especially Christians and Catholic voters, evangelical and Catholic voters, to be effective, passionate citizens, because, I think we've had too many election cycles where people were complaining on their Barca lounger and not actually in the game. So, we're working on the public policy side and then also kind of on the mobilizing activist side to make sure the biblical truth is alive and well in the ballot boxes of America.
People are, I think, waking up to the fact that this is no time to sit on the sidelines, because those who wish to disrupt or destroy our traditional successful way of life, well, they're quite motivated, and that means the defense needs to be motivated as well.
Completely agree. I think we need to be motivated, and we also need to be strategic. I think both of those are almost equally important. Unfortunately, as somebody that's kind of been in the throes of these things for a while, sometimes the left gets us on one or both of those. And thankfully, I think that more and more people are waking up, not only to that we need to do something, but what it is we need to do. And we're seeing more and more success, to that effect. Like we often say, the next election is the most important election. And so 2024 is a critical time. And unfortunately, the left has kind of gotten that memo too, which is why they're starting to pull out all the stops, like we're seeing in these, indictment processes and a few other things going on that, they are definitely going to shoot every, proverbial, bullet that they have in the chamber.
And you're based, as you said, in Georgia. That's the site of the fourth indictment. I think by my count, Mr. Trump is now facing 91 felonies in these four different cases. Speak, if you will, about the reaction where you are in the state of Georgia to this rather sweeping everything, including the kitchen sink indictment.
Well, I think, a ton of people have been waiting for this to actually materialize, for basically two and a half years. But to be honest with you, not very many of us saw that it was going to be a RICO indictment, which, I know that doesn't mean a lot to a whole bunch of folks, but if you work in the justice system, the RICO statutes are really kind of designed for, like, mobsters and cartel bosses and drug kingpins. And frankly, when you go down that list of the 19 people that were indicted in this case, you could hardly get more opposite than that in these prosecutions. And frankly, a lot of people, not only just, specifically or generally about the overall indictments and kind of harassment of this stuff, but even more specifically, some of the Georgians that were included in this are known Georgians to be, exemplary people. And so, a lot of people in Georgia are like that are not terribly, either may not necessarily be Trump fans or are not overly political. That know some of the other people that were indicted just say, this is a farce. We're going to talk a lot about witch hunts over time. But when you kind of like include philanthropists and kind of community leaders in your indictment of somebody that you're also arguing is a mob boss, basically, it just completely discredits the entire process.
One of the things that I, as a lawyer, look to in criminal indictments, and I defended individuals in a past career, you look to see, have they gone over the top? In other words, have they just kind of stacked the deck, put too much in there, to the point that the public then looks at it and says, okay, this none of this has merit because there's so much that's here that was unnecessary. That's sort of what you're just driving at there with the fact that folks that have been indicted are well known to citizens in your state. They find it hard to believe that community leader is a gangster. And does that then tend to cloud the veracity or validity of the entire criminal proceeding in the minds of these people?
Well, I think you also have to point out the reality, or at least the strong suspicion that, people like Fannie Willis in this process, it's a bit of a moth to a flame that they kind of, when something like this comes across their professional desk, it's too much for them to pass up with their own political, personal political ambitions.
Okay.
And so they basically kind of like push all of their chips, so to speak, into the table because they have to go after somebody, even if the evidence doesn't support them going after anybody either at all, or at least at a very high level. And so, she when she was literally campaigning, among other things, about going to get Trump, she was over her skis and she had to do something. And so here we are, 2 years later, and she basically said, well, I can't actually prove all the elements of any one crime. So basically what I'm going to do is try to bring like two dozen people in and prove that all of them did one element of this mastermind crime and try to get them all, which, as you know, it speaks to, it like kind of screams to actually the weakness of this case.
Timothy Head is executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, excellent organization, online, ffcoalition.com. He joins us on the Todd Starn Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. All right, so with regard to mobilizing like-minded people to act legally, but to act with force in terms of affecting an election, what have you found in your experience with the people that, you connect with? What's the effect of all of these indictments? Do you find that it's an easier sell, so to speak, to get people to pay attention? Or are they just kind of tuning out? Because I fear there's going to be so much noise, people tune out. But what's been your experience?
Well, I do think that that's a legitimate fear. At the moment, I would say that they're not tuning out. Just, you know, anecdotally here in Georgia, a guy that I know who is an extremely conservative guy, lifelong politician, you know, father of three, business guy, it was really not necessarily been a fan of Trump, you know, particularly stylistically, just told me a couple of days ago that this this last indictment was the last straw for him. And he said, I'm planning to indict, I'm planning to vote for Trump. And the only way that they can guarantee my vote for him is if he's sitting in a jail cell somewhere. Mm. So you have kind of the absolute Trump, you know, loyalists who, you know, clearly this just is kind of emboldening them. Then you obviously have plenty of liberals that that still are deranged, you know, over the mention of his name. But you have a lot of just what I would consider kind of either persuadable people or Republicans and conservatives that, you know, either are tired of you know, certain drama or didn't necessarily ever like Trump's tone, that are saying enough's enough. Like, you know, we're not unifying necessarily behind Trump per se, but we're definitely unifying against this kind of systemic takedown of political enemies. So you know, the analysis is definitely a multivariate analysis, but I think in the end Trump is actually going to become more sympathetic, and it's actually going to embolden more conservative voters through this process.
Timothy Head of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, thanks so much for taking time to join us on the Todd Starn Show. We'll connect again soon, I trust.
I always love being with you guys. Thanks so much, and God bless.
You as well, sir. Timothy Head, Faith and Freedom Coalition, ffcoalition.com. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on this Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. As he was talking, I was thinking about Trump as a symbol over the course of time. And that's an interesting way to look at all of this and the evolution of Trump as a symbol. I'll talk about that. I want to think about it a little more, so I'm going to let you take this break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls at 844-747-8868. But we'll also talk about Trump as a symbol. That's coming up. Stay with us. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Attention. Your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Friday. Join the conversation, please, 844-747-8868. Lines are open. Why don't you take one of them? 844-747-8868. In our next hour, we'll start with economist Stephen Moore. And the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick. That, in addition to your calls coming up. In our conversation in the last segment with the folks from the Faith and Freedom Coalition, we were talking about things that led me to think of Donald Trump as a symbol. And so let's see what you think of this. Obviously, we first learned of Trump contemporaneous with The Art of the Deal, the book, and then the series of books. And as I recall, the way he really came to prominence was New York City wanted to try to, I don't know, rebuild a skating rink, or there was something, and they just couldn't get work done. And he came in and just said, let me take care of it. And he performed. And performed under budget, under time, etc. Just took care of business. The image that Trump fostered, an accurate image of somebody who was a can-do individual, was not afraid to take risks. I think of the Atlantic City gambling situation. Now, did all of those pan out? No. But did he maintain the image as someone who was not afraid to take on a challenge and had a high level of success? Absolutely. That, of course, led to the Trump we knew as the one at the table at The Apprentice, the one who could recognize and reward talent. And then that led to the trip down the escalator in the summer of 2015. And the symbol that we had at that point, the symbol evolved from a can-do guy to a guy who could help build a team to the guy who could take on the establishment. Despite the fact that he was ingrained in New York City culture and public lore for decades by that point, despite all of that, Trump was very much counter-establishment. And you can see that even to this day, and I've mentioned it from my own experiences. Trump can speak to people at every level. Yes, he has money and has an affluent lifestyle, but he can relate to the person turning a wrench on an assembly line. And he makes time to connect with people backstage at events with the local law enforcement that are assigned to protect him. He would rather talk with those people than the party poobahs, which, of course, doesn't necessarily endear him to the party elites, but that's kind of the point, isn't it? Now he has become a different symbol. And to the point of our guest just now, Timothy Head of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, there are people who were not big Trump fans who now say, you know what, I'm supporting him because of what they're, quote unquote, they're doing to him. Mr. Trump said this often and starting many years ago, but now we really see it. You know, the part where he says, when they're coming for me, they're really coming for you. If they can do this to Donald Trump with all of his financial resources, with all of the talented people who would work for him and with him, if they can do this to him as a former president of the United States, if they can do that to him as the leading rival to the current person in power, then there's no end to what they could do. Trump is now a martyr. Trump is the symbol for everyone who is trying to take the country down. He is the symbol standing up against it. They all know that in order to succeed, they have to take him down because no one else could resist and succeed. And the more they do to him, the more popular and successful he becomes. Now, I am not diminishing the impact of four different criminal prosecutions. And as I have said, they only need one of them to hit at any level. And Mr. Trump has serious, serious problems. And he certainly has not done everything right or perfect in many of these things. But the point is, this is clearly a symbol. And he then is the symbol of what the swamp and those in power will do to anyone who stands in their way of maintaining or expanding power. Politico is reporting that Donald Trump has been telling associates that he will skip the presidential debate next week and instead provide counter-programming in the form of a Tucker Carlson interview online. Wow! That's the kind of news as a host of a program you like to see with 2 minutes left in an hour. Look at that. What a move if that were to be the case. At so many levels. Who has the debate? Fox News. Who decided Tucker Carlson was able to be tossed to the curb? Fox News. So Trump can stick his thumb in the eye of both the RNC and Fox by doing an interview with Tucker Carlson that will drop opposite the debate in Milwaukee. This is a report. I'm seeing it on Politico. They are crediting Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan of the New York Times. Oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Mayor Francis Suarez of Miami looked like he might be able to make it to the debate, but the RNC says, no, not so much. They don't count some of the debates that he's counting. So the RNC says that Suarez is not qualified, but Perry Johnson, the businessman, apparently has qualified. And I'll tell you, I had him on my program in Iowa yesterday, and he said, we have enough donors, and we think we have the right polls, and they will let us know. Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting. And there's still time for some of these folks to get in as well. Wow. Des Moines Register, NBC News, Mediacom, Your Name Here Iowa poll comes out early next week as well, and that may play a role on who's on the stage Wednesday night. Well, we know who's on the stage here in just a few minutes. It's economist Stephen Moore. Stay tuned. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour three of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations, and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Always a privilege to be with you in the Liberty University studio to talk about news of the day. Give us a call. We have plenty of time. We do have some good guests, but we also have time for you on this open line Friday at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Economist Stephen Moore set to join us in just a few moments. Newsweek is reporting that President Joe Biden, when he was vice president, used various pseudonyms for private email to get around detection. Now, this is something that was reported in the New York Post in 2021, but people didn't pay much attention because it didn't fit the national narrative at the time. But Congressman Comer's Oversight Committee has asked the National Archives to provide unredacted emails for Mr. Biden's time as vice president that lead to or relate to Ukraine and Burisma, and there are various pseudonyms. This is fascinating stuff. I didn't pay attention when this was reported originally. We'll come back to it a little later this hour. About, I guess it was three, four weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in Des Moines, Iowa, where I was the one who introduced each of the presidential candidates as they came on stage at the Republican Party of Iowa Lincoln Dinner. It was a great privilege for me, and 1,200 people there, lots of folks milling around afterwards. And even though I had talked to economist Stephen Moore on the radio a few times, I had never had the privilege of meeting him. There he was. I took advantage of the situation and introduced myself to the guest who's joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the well-known economist Stephen Moore. Mr. Moore, Jeff Stein here in Iowa. Thanks for being on the Starn Show today.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. Good to talk to you again.
All right, so I keep hearing administration officials talk about what a wonderful economy we're in, and then I look at gas prices, grocery prices, ordinary Americans, and nobody seems to be buying it, and even I think CNN gave them a few Pinocchios lately on this. What's the true situation about the health of the U.S. economy?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on, you know, your perspective, but I would say this, that, you know, right now, the economy is certainly improving, but, you know, we still have $4 a gallon gasoline. Yeah, that's what I paid, $4.39 in Virginia last week. We've got a national debt that has grown by $6 trillion under the most financially reckless president in history. We have a situation right now where the average American worker is about $5,000 poorer than they were when Biden came into office because inflation has been so high. But other than that, I'd say that Biden has been a good president.
Other than that, everything's great. Consumer credit card debt tops $1 trillion for the first time ever when we have near record interest rates on those cards. I mean, that shows us that people are desperately trying to pay for things, and it's just going to get them in deeper trouble.
Well, that's exactly right. And the worst way to borrow, of course, is to run up your credit card debt because, you know, those credit card companies are charging you sometimes 20% interest. So, $1 trillion, not $1 billion, $1 trillion of consumer card debt. And the reason for that is people are having a hard time making ends meet, and they're having to go further into debt to pay their bills because inflation is up 16% since Biden came into office. And most people think it's closer to 25% when you look at food prices and electric prices and gas prices and the things you have to buy.
Economist Stephen Moore, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I have read some manufacturing data that is not very positive with regard to being able to get materials out to the public. There's a real concern about a slump in manufacturing. Is that a tell that we are in for some darker days in the next 6 to 12 months?
You know, I mean, look, the economy is picking up right now. So if you look at the latest forecast on the economy from, like, the Federal Reserve Board, and based on the last, you know, couple months of data, it looks like, you know, the economy is growing faster now, especially compared to last summer when we hit the bottom of the ditch. Mm-hmm. But I really worry about not enough investment in America. Americans are borrowing way too much money, as we just talked about with our credit card debt. And we've got a president who doesn't put, look, I work for Donald Trump, so I'm a little biased, but even when I disagreed with Trump, I always felt like his policies were designed to put American interests first. I don't think that this president does that. I mean, he doesn't control our border. He's given away American energy supremacy. He is refusing to do anything about the crime in our cities, the drug epidemic in our country, the fact that we are the most indebted country in the history of the world. All those things are deeply troubling to me, and I think it's the reason why most Americans, even though the economy is doing okay, they feel like things are going in the wrong direction, because they are.
So what's the best economic policy to follow? In other words, if your boss, Mr. Trump, put his oath in the Bible and took took the oath of office today. What's your short list of things to pull us out of this mess?
Well, I talked to the president about this, President Trump, that is, this earlier this week. And I said, you know, Mr. President, how long do you think it would take for you to get the economy back on track? He said, give me 6 months.
Do you agree?
I'm talking about Trump.
Yeah, no, I understand. But yeah. I don't think Biden's taking your phone calls, even though he should. He'd be wise to. But well, is that realistic?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, Trump had the some people forget, most people don't forget, but some do, that, you know, the economy was absolutely booming when Trump, remember that? I mean, in 2019 and early 2020 before COVID, I mean, if COVID hadn't happened and we'd had all the, you know, craziness of COVID, Trump would have had the biggest reelection in the history of the country, you know, so it was a booming economy. For the first time in my lifetime, we'd become energy independent. These were really astounding accomplishments by Trump. And I do believe within 6 months, we open the spigots, we build the pipelines, we do the oil and gas and coal permitting, we get tough with China, we, you know, make sure that the Europeans are paying their bills. I mean, you know, one thing, question that Trump asked me the other day, and it was kind of a rhetorical question, why are we paying $200 billion a year to defend Ukraine and Europe's only spending $20 billion? They're right next door to Ukraine and we're not.
It's the sort of thing, and those are the questions that, and again, I'm far on the outside, but those are the questions apparently he asked on a whole host of issues, and no one could provide a good answer, and that's what led to...
There isn't a good answer, that's why. And, you know, the thing is, this is common sense. I mean, Trumpism is common sense. You know, you do things that are in your nation's interest, our national security interest, our job interest, our economic interest, our financial interest, our geopolitical interest. I can't think of a single thing. Biden and his cronies are so obsessed with this weird climate change issue that they actually believe, I'm not making this up, they actually believe that the government, the United States government, is going to change the temperature of the planet. They can't fill the potholes. They can't secure the border. They can't balance the budget. They can't get our schools in order. They can't control crime because they're going to change the temperature of the planet? I mean, is that insane?
I suppose if you can't do something tangible, go ahead and focus on something intangible, and you can't be proven wrong.
Right. I mean, and so, and by the way, the United States under Trump reduced our carbon emissions more than any other country because we moved towards, you know, a massive increase in natural gas production, and natural gas is a clean burning fuel. Somebody out there has to answer me the question, why is the left against natural gas when it actually reduces greenhouse gas emissions? And the answer is because the green movement is green. It's about dollars. It's not about a clean environment. We have created a multi-hundred billion dollar climate change industrial complex in this country that is bigger now than the military industrial complex.
Economist Stephen Moore joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. What about the Federal Reserve? There are now additional political candidates, presidential candidates, who say we need a new chair of the Fed. What should be done with regard to Fed policy, and does it have to do with personnel?
Sure, of course it does. You know, and you may know, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, that I was nominated by President Trump to be on the Federal Reserve Board. I didn't make it through the process because none of the liberals in Washington and the Senate wanted me on that board because I would have raised hell. But, and I do have skeletons in my closet. But, you know, the fact is that you've got these people, you've got this dynasty over there on the Federal Reserve Board, and it's the most secretive organization in America, and nobody knows what they're doing, why they're doing it. And we put great power in the hands of Jerome Powell and these unelected economists. You know, they have 300 PhD economists over there. Lord knows what they're doing because they're not stopping inflation.
No, that's certainly the case. Is their focus misdirected, in other words?
Yes, absolutely. It's the focus is misdirected, and the model that they're using is misdirected. They believe in the Keynesian economic model that if you have too much economic growth, that's going to cause inflation. Now, that's crazy. As my buddy Art Laffer would say, if the economy produces more apples, what happens to the price of apples?
should go down.
Go down, right. You know, when you increase the supply of something, that's why I'm a disciple of supply side economics. We want more production, more goods and services. It lowers prices. And what we're doing now is we're printing money. Now, here's another quiz question for you. Ready? If you print more and more trillions and trillions of dollars, what's going to happen to inflation?
It's going to go up because the dollars are worth less.
Of course. you know, these are, you know, I'm not trying to insult you or your listeners. I mean, these are just obvious questions. And nobody at the Federal Reserve Board, even though they have PhDs in economics, seem to understand that.
But that's the whole point, isn't it? It's common sense, because even with my public school education, and I was no econ major, okay, I knew that much. But obviously, you get these people with these degrees who say, well, it's much more complicated than that. It really isn't.
Well, you know, you want to know something that's sort of funny and pathetic, is that about a year and a half ago, there were 12 Nobel Prize winning economists who signed a letter in the New York Times saying, don't worry, Biden's policies won't cause inflation. Now, don't you think maybe they should give back their Nobel Prizes and their PhDs in economics to say something that stupid?
Well, then they would probably want a refund of the tuition dollars from the colleges, and then
they should get it. They should. No, that's all another can of worms. I mean, you know, we're these kids are spending, and their families spending, you know, $150,000 to get degrees that are worthless. And, you know, I have a friend who does a lot of business in China. He said, you know, that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Chinese programmers that are doing a lot of the work for Google and other companies. Companies, why? Because we don't have the scientists and engineers and computer scientists here in the United States. You know why? Because they're graduating with, you know, ethnic study degrees, which are worthless.
Underwater basket weaving, all of those other traditional ones
right.
as well. Final question for economist Steve Moore. First thing that Trump should do if he is reelected and take office is what? I know that's a silly question because things are interrelated and it could be very different in 2025. But right now, what's the one thing that he should do to have big impact?
Turn the spigots back on. Let's get American energy. We're losing 2 to 3 million barrels a day of production. That's about $200 million a day that Biden's insane war on American energy is costing us. So let's just, you know, use our oil, our gas, our coal, our nuclear power, everything we've got, and let's return to being the dominant country in energy around the world.
Economist Stephen Moore, thank you for the excellent common sense insight. I appreciate it greatly, and I hope to talk again soon.
Okay, I hope so too. Thanks again. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, sir. It's good Midwest common sense there. He's an Illinois native. Thank you very much. Steve Moore, economist, and he joins us live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio, 844-747-8868. That's the number to call. We'll put you on next. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us. Connect with Todd tonight by watching Newsmax. He's filling in for Greg Kelly at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Starnes in for Kelly on Newsmax tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. Attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick joins us in just a little more than 5 minutes to talk about some of these Trump indictments. Before Stephen Moore jumped on the line, I was reading you material from a report in Newsweek. And again, back in 2021, the New York Post reported that Joe Biden, while he was vice president, used pseudonyms in private email addresses to avoid disclosure of the material. And now, Representative Comer has sent a letter to the National Archives saying the Oversight Committee wants to see email messages to and or from Vice President Biden and Hunter Biden related to Burisma and Ukraine, and highlights the use of pseudonyms. And they already have some material showing some of these. Now, if you're trying to hide your identity, and you're coming up with an email address that you are hoping avoids detection, maybe you should try not using variations of your name or initials. And at first you're going to say, well, how stupid are they? No, it's not stupid. It's arrogant. The idea that they would never be caught. Apparently, some of the pseudonym email names that Joe Biden, as vice president, used, Robert Peters, Robin Ware, W-A-R-E, and my favorite, J-R-B Ware, W-A-R-E. Joe Biden's initials are J-R-B, Joseph Robinette Biden, Jr. So one of these is Robin, one of them is his initials, J-R-B. It's the height of arrogance to have the private email account and then just go ahead and put your initials in it like everybody's in on the joke and you're too cool for the room. How embarrassing is that, that they have that level of arrogance and that level of contempt for all of us? Because that's what it is. They're trying to circumvent the normal system to avoid detection. What if they find emails from when Joe Biden was vice president that show that he was helping to cook things in favor of his son's shady business dealings? What if they find those? Then what? Does that mean that that's the graceful exit to not run again with the hope of not being impeached? Again, I pray for Joe Biden's health every night because absent that, it's President Kamala Harris, and that's truly frightening. Dr. Wendy Patrick is not frightening at all. She's very intelligent. And she'll join us after this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio, final half hour of this Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome a return guest to the program. She is national news analyst and attorney, Dr. Wendy Patrick. Online, WendyPatrickPhD.com. Her most recent book is called Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship. Dr. Patrick, thanks for the time. Good to talk to you again.
It's always a pleasure to join you, Jeff.
All right, so Donald Trump faces, I think, 91 felonies in four different cases, some federal, some state, the most recent, this large filing in Georgia. Is there any one of those four that you look at as a career prosecutor and say it appears on the surface to be the stronger case as opposed to others?
You know, Jeff, I'm willing to bet it's the same one you, with your legal background, look at. You look at the D.C. indictment. That indictment is built for speed. It is streamlined, uncomplicated, four counts, one defendant, no named co-conspirators. And they want to fast track one of the four cases. That would be a likely candidate. Now, this most recent indictment, you've got 19 defendants in Georgia. I don't know about you, but we can't even get 19 people on a Zoom call at the same time, much less try to set 19 cases for trial. So that seems like a little bit more of a mess. But, Jeff, if we're just looking at evidence that's uncontroversial, you might look at the Mar-a-Lago case. I mean, he had the documents and he didn't. Obviously, there's wrongful intent, which is the wild card there. But in looking at what is most likely, maybe to take precedence, if that's the way we were lining them up, there's a lot of allure to just going forward quickly in the D.C. case, especially since the judge in that case has threatened to do exactly that the more Trump speaks out online.
And I wondered about that Georgia case. It seemed to be not just everything but the kitchen sink. It also included the kitchen sink and a whole room of appliances. And it just seemed to me like that. There's so much stuff there, it gets too complicated. It looks like piling on, whereas, as you say, that D.C. indictment, it's just straightforward. Here it is, up or down. That really is the sharpest one of the four.
You know, Jeff, that's a really great point as well. Not only are there 19 defendants, but you're right. The evidence includes so much of everything. And, you know, with all of those allegations, you know, all the evidence is going to take forever. Now, let me also, though, argue the other side about the D.C. case. Mm-hmm. 11 million pages of discovery to be turned over by the end of the month. The lawyers are going to have to read that. We know the former president says he doesn't read, but the lawyers are going to have to read and weed through all of that. So that might be the one reason this may be a bit of a delay.
We have about 2 minutes left. Dr. Wendy Patrick, tight on time today, but so gracious in giving us some of her insight, and I appreciate it here on the Todd Starn Show. So as you look at the timing of these things, I hear the prosecutors say we're going to move and we're going to do this quickly, etc. These are criminal charges, and that right to speedy trial is the defendants, not the prosecutors, and so they may want to do it quickly, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
What a great point, Jeff. You and I know this from our experience. It is true. The right to a speedy trial is designed, in most cases, to help the defendant. I mean, nobody wants cases hanging around to the extent that it becomes unfair. Here, you see the exact opposite dynamic. You see the state and the federal government stepping up and saying, we demand a speedy trial. And you can understand why, both legally and politically, that may be true. But to try to dispose of these cases before the 2024 election, that is a tall order. What I anticipate happening is this to be a very busy docket, just full of different types of motions, everything from change of venue to procedural motions to motions to separate defendants in the Georgia case, with all of that noise, if you will, complicating who goes first. I mean, that's going to be another issue. We are unlikely, as we can set all the trial dates we want, but that is just setting the initial trial dates. It's still going to be a challenge to get any of them to trial before 2024.
About 30 seconds left. When you look at if Trump was not involved, any other defendant, we wouldn't be going this fast unless the defendant was pushing it, right? Some of these requests for later trial dates, 12, 18 months down the line, given the complexity of the case, we'd do that for anybody if they weren't named Trump.
Well, what complicates the fact that you have a defendant named Trump is the fact that he's also both a defendant and a candidate.
Yeah.
And that is one of the, that is a complicating factor that, Jeff, there's just no precedent for. I mean, we can't think of a case under similar circumstances that we can look to for guidance as to, well, gosh, what do? When you have a candidate for president, a former president, facing 91 indictments and also facing an election in a little over a year. So because we're kind of learning a little bit as we go along, everybody is just, you know, really putting in all the time. Can you imagine that everybody is putting in the time they need to come up with some answers? Let's you and I keep following it, because it is a fascinating case of first impression.
Your insight is always cogent and appreciated. Dr. Wendy Patrick, thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
WendyPatrickPhD.com is the website. Her most recent book, Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship. And you see Wendy Patrick on Fox News, on Newsmax, all over the place. And she had a tight schedule today, but was kind enough to work us in for that conversation, and I do appreciate that greatly. Once again, WendyPatrickPhD.com is her website, and she joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on this Friday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. We told you a little bit ago about Donald Trump apparently is saying on social media and elsewhere that he is going to skip Wednesday's presidential debate in Milwaukee, which is on Fox, and instead he'll do an interview with Tucker Carlson, the former Fox host. It's not the first time that Trump has skipped events and then had competing events, if you will. But this one is next level in terms of how do you jab people like the folks at Fox. Not only will Fox not have the benefit of Trump appearing, but he's going to be on with the guy that they kicked to the curb. That's tremendous. I mean, it's just next level stuff. I believe this is a Truth Social post from Mr. Trump, quoting, "I am leading the runner-up, whoever that may now be, by more than 50 points. Reagan didn't do it, and neither did others. People know my record, one of the best ever, so why would I debate?" Then he writes in all caps, "I'm your man, make America great again." And that's really how we started this program, talking about a national poll of Republicans where Trump's lead is 48-point-something percent. That's not his number. His number is 61. His lead is nearly 50 points. That is just unprecedented. And again, the unprecedented nature of this whole situation that we've been discussing with the indictments, etc., during a campaign season. And as noted, if Starnes was a defendant, you wouldn't be rushing to have these trials start the way they do. I mean, the normal course of things, we want justice to be dispensed, and we don't want special treatment, pro or con, for or against. So don't treat President Trump differently because he's a former president and a presidential candidate. Don't treat him differently than you would a guy named Starnes. Similarly, don't treat Hunter Biden differently than people sitting in prison for similar offenses. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us in the Liberty University studio. I made a purchase earlier this summer. Bought a MyPillow 2.0. It was a buy one, get one. Threw in some percale sheets as well. Wow, is that good stuff. I couldn't believe how much better rest I got at night once I got a MyPillow. And then decided, well, you know, I've had this a long time. It's still holding up well, but let's try this 2.0. Had no idea it would be as good as it is. 20 years since Mike Lindell invented MyPillow, and now new technology makes the basic concept even better, and that's why it's called MyPillow 2.0. Has the patented adjustable fill of the original, but now a brand new outer fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. You know how people flip the pillow over and say they need the cool side of the pillow? This thing's always cool. I noticed it the very first night, and I don't have a big problem with that. Oh, gosh, the pillow isn't cool. But I noticed right away that this felt different. Temperature-regulating thread makes the MyPillow 2.0 the softest, the smoothest, and the coolest pillow you'll ever own. For listeners of this fine radio program, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free. And I know it works because I did it. Buy one, get one free by using promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA. Comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee, but you won't need it because you're going to love this thing. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square to get the buy one, get one free offer. Be sure to enter promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506. I'll say that again, 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS and get your MyPillow 2.0s now and pick up other things. Like I said, the sheets, the percale sheets, they're great. Have a couple of sets. MyPillow.com or 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. Liberty University Studio, that's the location of this broadcast, 844-747-8868. Todd is away today because he is in Gotham, because he's filling in for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, on Newsmax, Starnes on Newsmax tonight. Mary Walter will be hosting this program on Monday. Andy Hoosier is set to be in the air chair on Tuesday. Mr. Starnes back at home base to host this program on Wednesday. We have one more segment on this Friday, and we'll get to it after this final break. I'm Jeff Stein. Thanks for being along, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Todd will be filling in turn for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern on the TV box, or you can watch it online, the stream at newsmax.com. 844-747-8868 if you'd like to sneak in before we're done for this day and this week. Thanks to Dylan for taking care of things at home base in Memphis. Josh screening the calls and getting our guests on the air, and Grace for lining up this great list of guests we've had today. If you missed any of those interviews or would like to hear them again, wait just a short time, then go to toddstarnes.com, and you can listen to the Toddcast podcast of this radio program. Go back other days if you like, download it, share it, trade them and collect them with your friends, as they used to say with trading cards. It's at toddstarnes.com. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent in presidential campaign advertising. A half a billion, that's the new forecast, that local political ad spending will be $534 million this year. Now, I mention that because a lot of you don't care for the campaign ads and the PAC ads and all of this. Well, I'm here to tell you, you may not like them, but they must work, because the campaigns keep doing it. This is a 30% increase from 2021. It is more than double the $254 million invested in 2019, which was pre-pandemic, of course. So we're talking about the presidential election, but we're talking about midyears. I mean, this is an off-cycle. Where I live, we have municipal elections, mayor, city council, etc. There are some places where they have a gubernatorial election. But we're talking about $534 million to be spent in this calendar year alone. Issue-based spending is fueling a lot of that. During the first half of the year, 38% of the spending was on issue-based advertising. That's a 14% increase. And among the topics that we're talking about when I say that it is issue advertising that's tied to political spending, healthcare. How many ads have you seen? And I'm not talking about the ads for a certain company wanting you to sign up. I'm talking about broadly the system. It's healthcare, so-called clean energy, gun control, and also some of the spots that you've seen for groups talking about the economy. So we've got the local elections. There are three states holding elections for governor in this year of 2023. and other state executive positions as well in the cabinet. So it could be an attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, etc. Those three states that have these big elections for statewide office this November, Kentucky, we've already heard a lot about that, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Kentucky, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Those are good, solid battleground states. But when we're talking about some of this issue advertising and dropping tons of money, tens of millions of dollars, it's still among the largest metro areas in the country because they're trying to reach a lot of people who then they think will have some influence. New York is the number one media market in the country. Los Angeles is number two. That's not a surprise to any of you. And if you flip those, that's where the spending is. More total political spending. $47 million so far this year in Los Angeles in terms of TV, radio, et cetera. New York is second with 34.5. So once again, you've got these big entities playing to the big blue city populations to try to affect change. And that's just an example of the further and further away we get from common sense. So much of this just has to do with common sense. If you missed our conversation with economist Steve Moore, who's just brilliant and explains things so well, he said so much of this is just common sense, which was the cornerstone of the Trump presidency, by the way, as well. So unfortunately, these ad buys, this spending is not going to change anytime soon. Millions of dollars at stake. And one of the things I've always said about these bits of ads, keep in mind when you're getting close to an election, especially a federal election, certain number of days before the actual election, radio stations, TV stations have to charge the lowest rate possible. Nobody gets a lower rate than campaign ads. The concept being that we want as much political speech as possible. So, yeah, it's a revenue source, but it's not necessarily as good as you may think. We still want it if we're running radio and TV stations, obviously, just like we want furniture stores and car dealers and everything else, because that's how we stay on the air. We introduce you as the audience to these businesses who have a message to get out. We don't know that all of this campaign advertising works per se, but who wants to be the first one to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to put more into, direct email blasts or web videos. I mean, nobody knows what really works and doesn't work, and nobody wants to be the first to try it and pull out. And so that means you're going to have all of this spending increase because we have all these different platforms now. Nobody wants to give up this in order to pay for that. So there's just much more money. And as they say, more money, more problems. That's not quite how they say it, but I'm not about. I'll let Starnes do the rapping. He did that one day before I came on here not long ago, you may remember. Starnes' future career as a rapper. Maybe that's really why he's in New York. Now, you can watch Todd tonight on Newsmax, 10 o'clock Eastern. I'm Jeff Stein. Make sure you take your time this weekend for yourself and your God. Make the most of the rest of the weekend. I'll talk to you soon here on the Todd Starnes Show.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.